It's come time for our second message this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Richard Kleiner to come on around. He pastors the Copperas Branch Baptist Church over in Lawrenceville, Tennessee. And appreciate this young man. I want you to hear him preach this morning. Felt my heart he ought to preach. And it's good to have him on the grounds. He's no stranger here. He's come several times before. And Brother Richard, you just preach to us. They'll run the light for you back there. Amen. Thank
you so much for letting me be a part of this meeting again. We thank God for his goodness and grace upon us today and for letting us to be able to sit together in heavenly places down here. I'm grateful for all that the Lord has said to me so far and what he's saying to me in these morning services and in his night services. I want you to take your Bible this morning to the book of John chapter 13. And there's a passage in this chapter that the Lord's been stirring in my heart for several months, and it just won't die. And I want to share it with you. In fact, several months ago when the Lord gave me this message, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, anywhere you get a place to preach outside of your own pulpit, I want you to share this message with the people you preach to. And so I've tried my best to do that. I want to read several verses for the sake of time. Someone said for the sake of time they would read a few verses, but for the sake of time, I want to read several verses. And then it'd be better for you to hear God's word than hear what I've got to say anyway. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to them, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. He said, For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, You're not all clean. So after he'd washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, he said, happy are ye if you do them. I want to speak to you on this question for a few moments this morning, if the Lord will help me. On, are you a foot washing Baptist? Are you a foot washing Baptist? I don't want to alarm anybody. I'm not going to take a basin of water out and begin to wash anybody's feet, although it probably wouldn't hurt us any at all. Amen. Are you a foot washing Baptist? Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for this day. I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity I have to stand before this congregation and to give this people what you put in my heart to give. I am both humbled and honored, Lord, that I would stand here and read this great text. I'm asking you, Lord, to do with me what I cannot do in my flesh. And I'll be careful to give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When I was a little boy, I attended a little missionary Baptist church in a little place called Ardmore, Alabama. The pastor of that church is a man that was greatly used of God in those days. He wasn't a seminarian. He'd never been to Bible college. There was a real sense of revival moving in that little rural church. And the pastor was a real old-timey preacher. He was raised up on Sand Mountain, and he was what we might call an old-timey hacking preacher. He preached in the Holy Ghost, and he was what you might call a foot-washing Baptist. And every time the communion was taken, they would take out a basin of water, and they would pull that basin of water out, and they would begin one by one to begin to wash each other's feet. While that might sound foreign today and even a bit weird, it was a practice that had an impact on my life. Because in those early days of childhood, I learned what it was to become a servant in the house of God. Amen. And did not Jesus say, I've given you this example? And that example is that of a servant's heart. As we come to John 13, the shadow of the cross is larger and darker until we stand at the foot of Calvary on the evening just before the crucifixion. They tell me 15 to 18 hours from the text I've read, the Lord Jesus Christ will be suspended between heaven and earth to become the sin bearer of mankind. This is the upper room discourse. This is the holy of holies of Holy Scripture. Alexander McLaren writes that nowhere else in the blended light of God's superhuman deity on earth do we find his heart more shining than the passage I've read before you this morning. Amen. Because in this passage, we see the heart of God unveiled to us. The upper room discourse begins with a dramatic call for us to follow Christ, to lay down our belongings and take up our cross and follow Jesus. But it commences every single day of us taking up our towel and serving each other. Isn't that right? It begins with us falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But every day that we live, it commences in us, my friend, falling at the feet of each other and washing the filthy feet of our brothers and sisters. And that's the example that the Lord Jesus gives in the text I've read this morning. Amen. Christianity, being saved, is taking up that old rugged cross, but it doesn't stop there. It continues in us bowing at the feet of, and I'm convinced, Brother Steve, that there would be absolutely no church problems if every single body in the church would make up their mind they were going to be a foot washing Baptist. Amen. If every preacher made up their mind that every time they mounted the pulpit, they take the basin of water, the Word of God, and then wash their people's feet, there'd be no deacon problems. There'd be no church problems if everybody would determine, I will be a foot-washing Baptist. As I look at the text this morning, I want to review what's taking place in the text. On the surface, here's a man washing the filthy feet from these disciples, and it seems downright demeaning if you think about it. But this is a revelation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a snapshot of our Lord's love for us as he's about to go to Calvary and lay his life down for us. Jesus is showing us in a snapshot before Calvary what he's about to do for us as he walks toward Calvary. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother bought me a little gift for Christmas. You may have got one yourself. It was a pair of orange binoculars. It was called a Viewmaster. And in that little Viewmaster, there was a slot at the top. We didn't have video games. It was a slot at the top, and you slid that little disc in the top, and by pulling that lever, it would, my friend, rotate from place to place, showing you a view of what at the end of the story was all alike. And that's what Jesus is doing with our spiritual binoculars. We're able to see what Jesus is about to do for us. We're about to go to Calvary. And brothers and sisters, it's not in my heart in these days, I'm 42, it's in my heart to simply brag on the work of my Lord Jesus and what he done for me when he died at Calvary. Jesus is showing us a snapshot as he gets down on his knees and washes these disciples' feet in an act of love. Imagine if that were you. Imagine if you had walked through the dusty roads of Palestine, and imagine walking through the refuse and the dung and the urine and the dust and getting that on your feet, and you stop, and the Lord Jesus, I'm not talking about a redneck from North Carolina, can I get a witness? I'm not talking about a redneck from Tennessee, hillbilly from Georgia. I'm talking about this morning the Lord of glory. I'm talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about the one who with his fingers traced out courses for the rivers. I'm talking about the one with his hand scooped up the mountains and cupped out the canyons. These same hands that hung the stars in their sockets. These same hands that hung the moon and stars in their place. These same hands is grabbing the feet of those disciples who had been arguing who would be the greatest. These men were not great in their genetics or DNA. These men were depraved and deficient men, my friend, prone to wonder. And let our Lord Jesus grabs their feet and begins to wash that filth off of their feet. Amen. That's more than I can take. I remember growing up in Sunday school, an old preacher made this statement. He said that these disciples must have been the greatest men walking on the earth for Jesus to have chosen them. That's not the case. They were men at best. They were men subject to like passions like you and I. And yet my Lord Jesus, the sovereign Lord, who knows everything, is stooped to wash the filth off of their feet. I remind you that this is the sovereign Lord. And while Jesus stoops to do the lowest thing that a servant could do, he's still the highest sovereign. And John wants us to see that this morning. He knew what was about to take place. The cross did not take Jesus by surprise. He knew Calvary was out yonder just a few hours from him. And yet Jesus stoops to wash the filth off of their feet. Now listen to me. It might appear like Jesus is weak and vulnerable, but he's strong. Brother Kevin married, and he's in control of all things. And Jesus is as high as ever when he stoops lower than ever and washes these disciples' feet. Well, I was a nervous while ago, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. Amen. He stoops and washes the filth off of their feet. We can imagine the look on their faces in that silent upper room when Jesus takes that basin and slides it before their feet. Listen, my friend, it's a picture of what Jesus is about to do for them at the cross of Calvary. Amen. So as we review this whole scene, I'm going to say secondly, we ought to receive what's taking place. They're reclined in their traditional posture around this table, and Jesus performs the last act physically of his life. Now get a hold of that. It's the last physical thing Jesus was about to do. He could have used this scene for a great big crescendo. He could have used this scene to give one last prophetic word, but he did not do that. He stoops to wash their feet. Well, he washes old Thomas's feet, who was a doubter. He washes Andrew's feet and Matthew's feet and James's feet and Philip's feet. And then I can imagine old Peter looking from a distance, shaking his Baptist head and thinking to himself, he'll never wash my feet. And I can imagine Peter had a size 13D and his feet was especially nasty. Because not only did he walk in the same filth and dung and urine as everybody else, he had a problem of sticking his foot in his mouth. Isn't that right? And oh, listen, the Lord Jesus slides that basin in front of Peter. And Peter says, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I can't wash your feet, Peter, you'll have no part with me. I remember my mother used to say before I went to bed, son, go wash your feet, because it's the feet that gets the dirtiest. It's connected with this old world we live in. And so Jesus says, though sin may soil you and though sin may stain you, I must wash the filth off of your feet. And I got some wonderful news. Listen, there's been a many times when my Lord Jesus has stooped to my feet since I've been saved and washed the filth and washed the soul of sin off of my feet, and thank God set me back on the right path. I say thank God tonight or today he washes my filthy feet. Amen. As I read that text, I got plumb mad when Jesus reached for Judas Iscariot's feet. I said, no, Lord, don't wash his feet. You know what he's about to do. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, he knew what you was going to do, but he washes your feet too. Amen. Amen. He washes your feet in spite of him knowing exactly what you would do from day to day. Oh, thank God he's a Savior that keeps washing my feet. And thank God for his blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners can, my friend, get in that blood. He'll wash away all of our filthy stains. Thank God for the Lord Jesus washing my feet away, washing my sins away and washing my feet. You know what I want to get to this morning, because Brother Steve, the Lord gave me this message and said, if you ever do get to preach at Taylorsville again, I want you to tell him this. And this is for you. Not only receive it and review it, but we've got to repeat it. Jesus sits back at the table and he begins to teach another lesson. He says, what I'm doing for you ought to be duplicated and repeated to everybody else. And that truth moves beyond the upper room and moves into our room this morning. And Jesus says, as I have stooped to this level, so ought you to stoop to that same level. I know our free-willed Baptist brethren think that this is an ordinance, but it's not the action that Jesus says to duplicate. It's the activity and the attitude that Jesus says to duplicate. Amen. Jesus says, I am your Lord and Master. I've washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet as well. I've stooped to the level of my friend, a servant, the lowest of tasks. And so ought you to stoop to the level of that same place and wash one another's feet. I've left the praises of saints and angels around my throne, that my friend come to this earth and wash your feet in Calvary, and so ought you to do the same. Isn't that right? It wasn't beneath me to do that for you. It ought not be beneath you to do it for each other. Now what is he talking about? Now, I think the application here, Brother Steve, is more than just a basin of water. I think it could be a phone call on a Monday morning to a preacher to say, brother, I'm going to tell you something. You may have thought that was a flop, but it was for me. Amen. It might be by taking the time to go down to Walgreens and pick up a card and put it in the mail to some saint and say, "Sister, I want to tell you I'm praying for you and I love you." Amen. It may be picking up a phone to some preacher brethren and say, "Brother, you don't know what your investment in my life has meant. And I want to stop in my life and say, you've been such a blessing." It might be a text message to simply say, "I'm praying for you. I care about you." That is the action that Jesus says to duplicate, an encouraging word, an act of kindness, just to say, "I'm washing your feet through this act that God has laid on my heart to do for you." Amen. Amen. I can't count the times that my feet has been washed. I got a little old lady in my church, Miss Mabel House. She's 90-something years old. And every time she comes to church, she'll lay her little face on my face and she'll say, "Preacher, how is my preacher doing? I'm praying for you." And man, it's like she's washing my feet. And Brother Steve, when I get through preaching and my face is sweaty and I'm hot, she'll lay that little wrinkled face on the side of my cheek, sweating all, and she'll say, "Man, you sure are a good preacher." It's as if she pulled out a basin and she's washing my feet. Brother Steve, I remember the first time you called me on the phone. I couldn't wait to tell everybody that Stephen Dagenhart called my number. And brother, it washed my feet, Brother Steve. Many of you men who are sitting here this morning have washed my feet. Brother Tom Gillum. Brother Tom, and I hope you don't mind me saying this. Brother Tom sends me a check every week from his mission to me, a pastor. Brother Tom, that washes my feet. The little things that people do washes our feet. And that's what camp meeting's all about. It really is. It's about getting together and having somebody wash our feet and help us to get down the road again. Isn't that what it's about? It's about helping somebody and washing one another's feet. You're never more like Jesus than when you wash somebody's feet. Isn't that right? I'm going to say this. Brother Rick Smeltzer's here. Brother Rick has washed my feet a minute. And Brother Rick has a little boy in his church. I started preaching for Rick Smeltzer 10 or 11 years ago, I guess. And he lets me come back every year. I can't believe it either. There's a little boy in his church. And when I first got there, Brother Rick, I don't know if he's severely autistic. I don't know what his problem is, but he couldn't hardly carry on a conversation 10 years ago. And when the choir director would sing, that little boy he'd stand up there and do his hands like this. And he'd look at me and smile. He'd just do like this and smile. And I thought, well, if it doesn't bother them, it doesn't bother me. And he'd stand over the lady, this old saint, stand over, and he would do his hands like she would do on the piano. And he would look at me and smile, and he would just stand over and do like this. And when I would preach, Brother Steve, you're there every year, he'd throw his hand up in the air and he'd do what I do, and that's dangerous sometimes. He'd throw his hand up in the air and he'd do what he would say. When I said amen, he'd look at me and he'd say amen. He would just, he copied every single thing that went on in the church. And about 3 years after going to there, that little boy was doing the same thing. And when the special singing got there, he got on the piano and he began to play that piano because he's watching some saint who washed his feet, who invested their life into him. And now he's washing other people's feet. And though she might be dead, she lives on because she invested her life into somebody else. And that's why a camp meeting like these will live on, because we're washing one another's feet. Lord, I feel like running. Amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus washing my feet. And thank you for washing my feet. Isn't it good to stoop and wash somebody's feet? Amen. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now let me close here. The Bible said this. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said, "Know you what I've done? Know you what I've done?" You see, Jesus, brothers and sisters, was showing the gospel. Because in the same picture, Jesus Christ sat on his throne, but left his seat in glory, laid aside his outer garments, and stooped to this old world. And he put on the garments of a slave, and he walked up Calvary's hill, and he washed our sins away in the basin of Calvary. And then the Bible said he took up his garments and sat down again. And that's why the Hebrew writer said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." And that's why Cowper said, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." I was reading about the Salvation Army several months ago. When that thing got started, people came from all over the world to enlist in the Salvation Army. One American came by the name of Samuel Logan Bringle. He was a successful pastor in America, but he wanted to join. And when he got there, William Booth said, "You've been your boss too long." He said, "I must humble you." And he said, "You've got a black boots." And Mr. Bringle said, "If I followed my own fancy, I crossed the ocean to black boots." But he said at that time, he saw the Lord Jesus bowing at the feet of these disciples. And he said, "If Jesus can wash feet, I can black boots." And that's what it's all about. It's stooping like the Lord Jesus and serving one another and washing the feet of others who might be in a difficult place in life. Amen. I got a guy down the road from me. He took a shot at me with a pistol. No lie, I was about from here to Brother Mike Holcomb, and he shot at me and bled it missed. Praise God. The Lord put a burden in my heart for him and said, I want you to wash his feet. And I got some pecan trees, and he said, "Go get him some pecans." And I walked up on the door of that little trailer where he sat. I mean, a dilapidated trailer. And there was a sign on the door. It said, this door is guarded by a shotgun 3 days a week. Guess which day?" And I was nervous. And I knocked on that door, and a dog began to bark, a pit bulldog. He's holding the dog from biting me. And I said, "Sir, I'm the preacher. I want to ask you, do you want some pecans?" And he said, "I do." "How much are they?" I said, "They're free to you." And I said, "I'm going down there to get them, Brother Steve. The Lord's been living in me. Wash feet. Wash feet. That's what you're here for, wash feet." And so I took him back down and I set him in that little trailer that the floor is falling in. And he said, "Thank you so much." And I said, "Sir, if you ever need anything, I want to be there for you." Brother Brian Calhoun, buddy, you washed my feet many a time. I couldn't call. Brother Kevin, you washed my feet. Brother Stacy's the best friend I got in this world. You washed my feet. Amen. Hallelujah. In a few moments, I know the yellow light's on. In a few moments, we're going to go to the mess hall. And them little old ladies is going to put some food across the table. They're going to wash their feet. That rice and them beef tips was mighty good, brother. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're washing feet. When I come up on the grounds, I was nervous. But I feel pretty good right now because my feet's getting washed. Hey, Brother Curtis, keep washing them drugs' feet. That's what you're doing, brother. Keep on washing their feet. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep washing their feet. Amen. You know why Brother Dagenhart's elevated? Because he's always down at the feet of everybody else. John Piper, I know some people like him, some people don't. I love him. I love to read John Piper stuff. Piper said as he closed out his last sermon in the church he pastored in Minnesota, he said, go low. He said, pastors, go low. He said, evangelists, go low. He said, singers, go low. He said, straight-A students, go low. He said, teenagers, go low. He said, mamas, go low. Daddies, go low. Listen, children, go low. And until we get low and chuck this Hollywood attitude, we'll never, ever see God move again. We must go low, go low. Oh, God, help me to go low. And wash somebody's feet. Wash somebody's feet. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank God. Appreciate the goodness of God. My dear old pastor, I'm closing now. My pastor, when I got called to preach, his name was Ray Duble. He was a foot washing Baptist. And when I got called to preach, I was 17 years old. You know what he did for me? Brother Rick, he made me a time to preach. He said, every Thursday, you're going to preach. Every single Thursday, you're going to preach. He told the church we're going to have Wednesday night service and Thursday night service. And all them little saints would come to church Wednesday night and Thursday night to hear me preach. Little Presbyterian lady, 100 years old, would give me money from a radio broadcast. She's in heaven now. I carried her body to the grave. Look back in your life. Let your mind wander down memory lane. At the people who's washed your feet. I got a set of tapes. I'm done right now, Brother Steve. I got a set of tapes when I first started preaching. Just ordered them offline. It was Joe Parsons and Arthur Blackburn and some of those guys. And Joe Parsons was preaching right here, and a rooster was crowing. And I'd sit at lunch, and I'd listen to Joe Parsons talk to me like God was talking. Washing my feet. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to be ministered to. And to give my life a ransom for many. I don't know how he's a touching your life, but you ought to listen to him this morning. You say times are passing by. I'm here to tell you, it's time to do things with God to speak in your heart. talking. I want to thank him for the atmosphere in this service this morning. So many times we come, our hearts are cold, they're numb, but I'm grateful when the Spirit of God begins to squeeze you and to speak to you. I said to Miss Barbara last night when we got home, I said the meeting took a turn last night. And I say that to the glory of God. There was a difference come over the service. And I could tell the difference when Brother Fred was a praying. And I appreciate the faithfulness of God's man to deliver what's in his heart. I want to take on the servant's place. I want to try to help somebody. Help is what we need. Thank you, Brother Richard. Well, Brother Tom, you just come on. We're not going to have no more singing. Holy Ghost took care of all that. In fact, I'd rather have all this going on than anything I know. I hope you've got some things that'll help you in life.